This is Audible.
Harper Teen and Harper Audio present Fame, Fate, and the First Kiss by Casey West. Performed by Caitlin Kelly. Dancing Graves. Interior. The Graham Mansion. Night. Scarlet. 17-year-old daughter to wealthy estate owner and zombie hunter Lord Lucas Graham paces her bedroom, a fire glowing in the fireplace. She nervously awaits the return of her father and Benjamin Scott, the man she hopes to marry, from a hunt. Scarlet.
Where are you?
Exterior. A forest. Night. In the forest surrounding the mansion, on horseback, Lord Lucas and Benjamin Scott, 19-year-old suitor of Scarlet Graham, fight off a horde of angry zombies. Lord Lucas.
Only kill if you must. There is still hope for them. The chaw is closer than ever.
Benjamin.
There are too many.
Lord Lucas.
Retreat!
1.
Your face is falling off.
I reached up to my chin, where Grant's eyes were glued, and felt the long piece of fake skin that the makeup artist had adhered to my real skin hanging by a thread. My face is supposed to be falling off. I'm a zombie. I was a zombie, acting in my very first movie role alongside Grant James. Superstar Grant James. We'd been on set for a week now, but I still couldn't shake the excitement of that thought.
I don't think it's supposed to look like that, he said.
My face is falling off, I said, turning toward Remy the director. He was behind a camera and a monitor with about 10 other people. The boom operator to my right groaned and moved the pole to his shoulder. This was at least our 20th take of the scene. His arm was probably sore.
Makeup! Leah!
Remy called.
We need a face fix!
Even with the large light box blocking the direct rays of sun from the scene, the heat still radiated off the soil around us. It was hot in Los Angeles for September. We were shooting in a graveyard today, and if we were out here much longer, I knew I'd start to feel like an actual zombie, slowly melting away. Leah hurried forward with her bag of supplies and got to work on my face. Remy stepped into the shot as well.
I need you both to add some chemistry to this scene. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not either,
Grant mumbled. We weren't projecting chemistry? We'd had plenty of chemistry when we auditioned for the part. Guess my becoming zombified wasn't helping. I could fix that. I may have been the newbie on this set, but I wasn't new to acting. I had been in a few commercials, a dozen high school plays, and had made 4 guest appearances in The Cafeteria, a long-standing television show. Sure, approximately 3 people remembered me being in the show, but that didn't mean I wasn't good. This movie was my big break, and my first real chance to prove I was star material. I stayed perfectly still while Leah poked and prodded at my chin. Grant paced behind her, stepping over mounds of dirt and around fake headstones. He mumbled his lines, completely forgetting too. I didn't say anything. That was Remy's job. Leah took a step back, gave my face a once-over, and said, "Perfect." I smiled. "I look pretty." She swatted at my arm playfully and then took her place behind the monitor again.
"Okay,"
Remy said.
"Places, everybody."
3 hours later, Remy yelled,
"Cut! That's a wrap."
Leah stepped forward to remove a pre-made section of my zombie face that she never let me take off myself. Too valuable, she once told me. I started to say something to Grant when, past the lights and monitors, I noticed my dad weaving his way through the crew, his eyes glued to Remy.
I shook my hands, hoping that would help Leah move quicker. The second she was done, I rushed to intercept my father. I wasn't fast enough. By the time I got there, my dad was talking about the appropriate number of breaks for an underage actress. Remy's expression was unreadable. "Dad," I sang out, "you're here again." He didn't miss a beat.
"I've been here for 2 hours, and there wasn't a single break." "We'll keep that in mind," Remy said.
"Thanks, Remy," I said. "I'll see you tomorrow." I hooked my arm in my dad's and forced us both toward my trailer.
"Lacey,"
Dad said,
"I wasn't quite finished."
"Didn't you have that talk with him yesterday?"
"And obviously, nothing changed."
"Dad, I feel great. We had plenty of breaks, I promise. Half the time, we're just standing around waiting for the lights to get moved anyway. We had at least 2 more months of filming. This could not keep happening."
"That's not the same as an offset break,"
he said when we stopped in front of my trailer. He looked at the door, then back at me.
"Aren't you coming home right now?"
"Right. Home." I was underage, which meant that I was the only lead cast member who wasn't living in my provided trailer, which was towed to each location along with the rest of the equipment. I had to trek at least 40 minutes, depending on where we filmed for the day, home every night to my dad's apartment, a place that didn't feel like home at all. It had been 7 years since I'd lived with my dad full-time, and we were still getting used to it. When he'd offered to move down to L.A. with me, I thought he was finally supporting my acting career. What I didn't realize until we were down here was that he just wanted to micromanage it. I need to get some homework done first. I opened the trailer and stepped inside. He followed me.
"That reminds me. Why did you tell Tiffany to stop coming?"
I sat down on the couch and unlaced my boots. "Who?"
"Tiffany, your tutor."
"Oh, right. I didn't tell her to stop coming. She quit."
"Really?"
"She had, after having to wait 2 hours for me for the 3rd day in a row. My daily call sheet may have spelled out my schedule, but sometimes we got behind." "Yes, really. Besides, Father dearest, I don't require a tutor," I said in an English accent. "I can work on homework packets on my own." My dad had found a school close by to sponsor my home studies. The semester started 3 weeks ago, before we began filming. When I was done, I would finish out my senior year back home with my mom and friends. That was probably why I wasn't super invested in the homework or the weekly emails I got from my sponsor teacher.
"You're right. A tutor wouldn't be required if you actually finished the packets and turned them in all by yourself, too."
He returned in his own English accent. I smiled. My dad was a bit of a nerd, who always dressed in khakis and actually parted his auburn hair to one side. But with a little effort, he could pull off a leading man. He nodded toward my homework on the table.
"That's why I hired you another one. Someone who I will keep updated on your schedule, even when it changes."
I dropped the accent. "What? No, Dad, I'll get to my homework, I promise. I don't need a babysitter. This is the biggest opportunity of my life. I'm focusing, channeling my zombie nature. Zombies do not do independent study packets." He gestured to my zombified face.
"Somehow I don't think that this is the biggest opportunity life will afford you. And the amazing thing about school is that finishing it makes it so when opportunities get ruined, you have something to fall back on."
He held up my barely started homework packet.
"He'll be here tomorrow."
"He? You hired a man to tutor me? That's going to be weird, hanging out with a strange man in my trailer."
"He's not a man,
I hired a student this time, from your sponsor school. It will be good for you to hang out with someone your own age.
Don't you think a guy my own age will be more of a distraction?
You think of the most creative ways to get out of things. No, I don't think that. I know how your mind works. Boys will get in the way of your big dreams. I don't remember the last time you gave one the time of day.
I'd give one the time if he asked. There was a knock on the trailer door, and Aaron, the director's 15-year-old son, poked his head in.
Can I get you anything, Lacey?
I smiled. I could use a cold bottle of water, please.
Lacey can get her own water,
Dad said.
It's okay. I'm here to help.
Aaron walked to the little fridge in the kitchen area.
I stocked your fridge with drinks this morning.
He pulled one out and handed it to me. You're the sweetest. Thank you. He looked down, his cheeks going pink. My phone buzzed on the table. We weren't allowed phones on set, so there was a list of notifications from the day. I entered my passcode and quickly looked through my texts. They were mainly from Abby and other friends back home.
Anything else?
Aaron asked from beside me. Oh, no, I'm good. I held up my water. Thank you. He nodded, then backed out of my trailer, shutting the door.
When did you get a water fetcher?
Dad tugged on the leaf hanging off the stem of one of the roses my mom had sent over my first day of filming. 7 days later, they were now droopy and wilting.
I thought Faith was your assistant. You need two?
I unscrewed the cap on my water bottle and took a sip. Dad, Faith is the assistant director, and that was Remy's son. Don't call him a water fetcher. I think he wants to work on movies when he grows up.
So he gets your drinks?
No, he just kept following me around, asking me how he could help. I tried to tell him I didn't need anything at first, but he seemed really sad about it. So I ask him for things now and again. It's easier this way. I set my water on the table and unlaced some ribbons from my hair, hanging them on a rack of clothes in the corner.
I see,
Dad said, even though it didn't seem like he understood at all.
So, how did things go today? Do you want to quit yet?
I scrunched my nose at him. You will be the first to know if I ever want to quit. Try not to gloat too much if that happens. He put his hand on his chest as though deeply offended.
You know I would never gloat.
No, you'd just be so happy that your head might explode.
You know it's not about me.
I know. It's about your deep concern for my fragile ego.
I just think there's nothing wrong with being a kid before you have to grow up. This industry can do crazy things to people.
Those people don't have you, Dad. I wrapped him in a hug. The only one driving me crazy right now was him. But he was my dad, and I was pretty sure that's what dads were supposed to do, so I'd forgive him for it. Not even my overbearing dad was going to take away the excitement of where I was and what I was doing. His shoulders rose and fell again.
This is how you talk me into things.
Besides, I'm far from a kid. I peeled up a corner of latex from my cheek and pulled it off slowly.
Dad, help me! My face is falling off!
Did you seriously just do that after claiming you weren't a kid?
You're right. My timing was off. I walked to the vanity and dropped the piece of latex there, then picked up a Q-tip and dipped it in some sort of magical makeup dissolving solution Leah had given me on day one. It made the fake skin come off easier.
So, I'll see you back home at 10 with a finished homework packet,
he said, his hand on the door now.
Yep.
He left the trailer with a click of the shutting door. I sank down into a chair and immediately regretted it, as the corset I wore dug into my hips and ribs. I stood and loosened it. The makeup I had to endure may have been atrocious, but the wardrobe was gorgeous. Historical zombies knew how to dress. I ran my hand down the tattered sleeve of the billowy blouse. I threw my corset over the rack, then picked up my phone. Abby answered after 3 rings.
Hey, movie star.
Hi, I got your 1,000 texts today.
I know you said you can't check during filming, but it's just habit now.
I understand. I miss you too.
When do you get a break to come visit your not-so-cool Central Coast friends?
I felt a twinge in my chest. There wasn't a second that I regretted accepting the role of Scarlet, but it was hard not to feel a little homesick. I felt a million miles away from all my friends, who were doing all the things that we used to do together, like meeting up at the diner after school and planning our weekend. My Central Coast friends are the coolest, but filming seems like it's going to be pretty nonstop for the next few weeks, especially since things aren't going that well. Apparently, Grant and I have lost our chemistry.
Why?
Probably because I look like maggot-eaten death most days. I grabbed a wipe and began scrubbing at the residual makeup and adhesive on my skin. I'd need a long shower tonight. My hair, normally red and curly, was straight and streaked with dirt, making it look mostly brown.
I still don't understand why his character is supposed to want to kiss your character in that state.
Because true love transcends all. What you really should be worried about is why my character wants to kiss him. I'm a zombie. Sure, a partially cured zombie, but still. Shouldn't I just want to eat his brains?
I guess things don't have to make complete sense in movies. It makes sense. True love really does transcend all. It's kind of sweet, actually.
I laughed. Spoken like a woman in love. How is Cooper?
Amazing.
So the whole best friends turned lovers thing is something you'd recommend, then?
Absolutely. Why? Do you have a best friend you're looking to turn into more?
Ha! I have no friends. I just moved here, live with my single and very much out of the social scene dad, and I'm on a movie set every day.
I didn't realize you were the only person acting in this movie.
I pursed my lips.
You're right. I'm being antisocial. Which is very weird to me. You are the queen of parties here. You throw one for every occasion.
I ran my hand along the clothes hanging on the rack as I walked by, feeling the silky material drift through my fingers.
You still there? Abby asked.
I'm feeling a little pressure. This is such an amazing opportunity, and I'm terrified of messing it up. It was the first time I'd admitted that out loud. This was probably why I was feeling off. Why Remy felt no chemistry between Grant and me. I needed to relax. I breathed in and then out slowly.
I'm sorry, Abby said.
Enough about me. How's your art? Have you posted any more paintings online that I can drool over? Abby was going to be a world-famous painter one day. I was sure of it.
No, school is taking all my free time.
School is a poacher of time, that's for sure. Speaking of, I have at least half of an independent study packet to complete by 10 o'clock tonight. I better run.
Okay, good luck, she said.
Tell Cooper I say hi.
Have fun working on your chemistry with Grant James.
He may not be feeling it, but one look at his face and I'd think he wouldn't have a hard time at all, she said.
Is he as hot in person as he is on the big screen?
Hotter. And the entire cast and crew knew this, including him. She laughed.
It's a tough job you have, Lacey Barnes.
Super tough. I know. Some of us are called on to sacrifice for the greater good. And some must pay good money to watch those who've heeded the call.
Talk to you later.
We hung up, and I grabbed my independent study packet. I worked on it for a solid 5 minutes before my mind drifted back to what had happened on set today. What I really needed to be studying was Grant James. Abby was right. I had some chemistry to work on, and I knew how to do just that. Dancing Graves. Interior, the Graham Mansion, morning. Benjamin and Scarlett talk in the study with Scarlett's friend Evelyn, 20-year-old, longtime acquaintance of the family, as chaperone, reading a book in the corner, but really listening to every word they say. Scarlett doesn't know, but Evelyn has feelings for Benjamin. Scarlett,
are you okay? Did you come to any harm last night?
Benjamin,
we managed to drive them back. Barely. I worry your father is too concerned with saving them when we should be more concerned with the living.
Scarlett,
they are the living, Benjamin. You shall see. Father will finish his cure and restore them.
Benjamin,
I hope you are right. For their sakes.
Evelyn,
for all of our sakes.
A loud crash sounds as a stone is thrown through a window and lands with a thud on the carpet, just behind Scarlett. Benjamin rushes the women out of the room. Benjamin,
hide, and don't come out until I tell you it's safe.
2. Grant James and I needed to be friends offset. That was all there was to it. It's not like we didn't talk between takes and goof around a little. But that was obviously not a big enough bond. If we were friends offset, as ourselves, we'd have a better flow and connection on camera. We'd been filming for only a week, but I should have thought of this before now. It was close to 8 o'clock, so I had about an hour and a half to secure Grant's friendship before my dad would expect me home. As I wove through the remaining crew putting away lights from that day's shoot, I had to stop for a moment to take it all in. I was on an actual movie set, making an actual movie. I had dreamed of doing this for as long as I could remember, and now it was finally happening. Happiness was not the right word to describe how I felt. Maybe euphoric, or alive. Like everything I had worked for my entire life had led me to this. A couple of security guards were stationed in front of a row of barricades that surrounded Grant's trailer. His trailer was set apart from the rest of them, as if he couldn't mingle with the common actors. The guards were older, maybe mid-40s. I waved.
Hello, Ms. Barnes,
the guy on the right said. Hi, just here to see Grant.
Does he know you're coming?
No, but I thought we could run lines.
If you'll just wait here, I'll check with him.
He freed his walkie-talkie from his shoulder and relayed my presence to someone else. I had no idea why there was the need for a middleman. I could literally see Grant's trailer behind them with its lights on. All they needed to do was walk 20 steps and knock. Apparently, the guards didn't have clearance for his cell phone or his front door. We all stood there in silence. Me and 2 guys, 3 times my size. Do you have to stand here all night? I asked, when the silence stretched longer than a minute.
Yes, we do. We have the graveyard shift.
I'm Lacey, by the way, I said, but then realized he had said my name.
Yes, we know who you are.
I smiled. Social custom dictates that this is the time when you tell me your names.
Oh, right.
The one who'd been doing all the talking so far said,
I'm Duncan, and this is Phil.
Duncan's walkie-talkie crackled, and a female voice came on. Send her back. Let me guess, I said. I can go back? Duncan smiled and stepped aside.
Go on back, trouble.
You're not the first person who's given me that nickname, I said.
I have no doubt about that.
I patted Duncan on the shoulder as I walked by him. When I reached Grant's trailer, I knocked.
Come in,
he said. I pulled on the handle and hopped up the 2 metal steps. His trailer was much bigger than mine. That was the first thing I noticed. A long couch on one wall, a table on the other, a flat-screen television, an amazing kitchen, a closed door in the back that I assumed was his bedroom. The second thing I noticed was him. He sat on the couch, eating a protein bar. He wore sweats that he'd rolled up to his knees and a t-shirt. It had been a while since I'd seen him in street clothes. I was used to his blousy shirts, neck scarves, and vests. He looked more like his 19-year-old self like this. He met my eyes with his bright blue ones. Yes, he had a reason to be vain.
Hey,
he said.
I almost forgot what you looked like without all the makeup.
I sensed you did. I put my hands under my chin as if putting my face on display. Committed to memory for tomorrow. He gave me a half smile and held up his protein bar.
Want one?
No, thank you.
I thought you went home, he said.
No. I pointed to an open cushion next to him on the couch. Can I sit? He moved his leg, which had been sprawled across the center cushion, down to the floor and said,
Sure.
So, I sat and looked around. Instant friendship wasn't exactly something I aimed for very often. I didn't have a problem making friends, but then again, I didn't normally feel like my career was riding on having a connection with someone. Apparently, that was enough to make me forget how I normally talked to people. I spotted a book sitting on the table across from us. You like to read?
Sometimes.
His phone chimed. He checked the screen and typed something into it. I reached over and picked up the book. It was Dancing Graves, the book the movie we were filming was based on. I'd read it right after I got the part. His bookmark was about 50 pages in. You haven't read it yet? I asked, kind of surprised.
I'm working on it.
Don't you feel like books give you a more in-depth version of your character that you can work with?
I like to bring my own spin to a character.
There was a knock on his door.
Come in,
he called. Amanda came walking in. She played Evelyn, my best friend. Kind, brave, and in love with my fiancé. She got to wear clean dresses and keep her beautiful brown skin free of any distortion makeup. In real life, I knew even less about her than I knew about Grant. She carried 2 bottles of beer in her hands. Her eyebrows went up when she saw me. Hello.
Is one of those for me?
Grant asked. Yes, sir. I thought you could use one after your talk last night about your tight neck. She looked at me. I didn't know you'd be here or I would have brought another. Oh, that's okay. I'm only 17. As if I needed to get caught drinking here. That would be excuse enough for my father to rip up my contract and send me back to my mom's. Oh, right, she said. That's why your dad is always hanging around. Grant laughed and opened the bottle. I knew Grant was only 19, but I was sure normal rules didn't apply to him. I had no idea how old Amanda was. I keep forgetting what you look like without makeup on, Amanda said to me. Grant kicked his foot in Amanda's direction.
That's exactly what I just told her.
And the dirt highlights are awesome, too, she said. I ran my hand through my hair. Or tried to. It was nearly impossible. It's one of my better looks. She patted Grant on the knee. Make room for me. He scooted down the couch, and she wedged herself between us. I was glad she'd come. Having an extra person here would make conversation easier. Are you two dating? Grant laughed.
No, but great friends.
He tapped his bottle against hers. Did you know each other before this? I asked. No, Amanda said, but we've been hanging out. If I had been able to stay here on location 24/7, I'd probably be more bonded with them. So what were you guys doing before I got here? She asked.
I'm not sure,
Grant said.
Lacey just showed up. Did you need something, Lacey?
No, I wanted to hang out for a little bit. Remy mentioned our chemistry today, and I thought this might be good for us.
Grant and Amanda exchanged a look.
Yeah, could help,
he said. What is it? Is there something I should know? I asked, because they'd obviously talked about this.
No, not at all, Amanda said. You'll get there.
I know, I said. Just because I was young didn't mean I didn't know how to act.
I sighed and looked around the trailer. This wasn't working. It felt forced, awkward. We needed to do something.
Let's play a card game. Do you have a deck?
Grant pointed to a drawer by a sink.
Try there.
I stood and slid open the indicated drawer. Toward the back, past a pad of paper and some open mail, I found a deck. I freed it and held it up.
Let the games begin.
What are we playing?
Amanda asked.
Go fish. Funny. I sat down at the table and shuffled the deck. So here's the game. It's like war. High card wins the hand. But in this game, low card has to divulge something about themselves. Whoever has all the cards in the end wins.
This would not only help me get to know Grant better, but competition always livened up a room. And when people were having fun, they bonded. I patted the table in front of me.
Come on, you two. The night isn't getting any younger.
Not any younger than you, Amanda said with a smile.
But she stood anyway and took the seat across from me. I wasn't sure if she was trying to be funny or if she was trying to dig at me for some reason. Either way, I knew how to hold my own. She looked at Grant, who had his phone out again.
Don't be boring. Play with us.
He maintained his seat on the couch.
This game is pointless. Everyone already knows everything about me.
Grant, Amanda said in a warning voice.
He gave an annoyed grunt and joined us. I dealt the cards.
Keep them on the table face down and we all reveal them at once. Are you ready?
They both nodded.
Okay, go.
We flipped. I had a jack, Amanda turned up an eight, and Grant came in low with a three.
And we have our first loser, I said.
Of course, he said.
I've never seen a loser look so much like a winner, Amanda said.
Oh, that was the problem. She may not have been dating him, but it was obvious she liked him. She liked him and thought I was here trying to take him from her. In a few weeks, I was going to have to kiss him on camera, but I had no interest in him off camera. He was nice to look at, but he was not worth stalling my career over.
Okay, Grant, I said. Hit us with something interesting about you that we haven't already read online.
Maybe it would be easier to correct some of the things you've read about me online.
That works too, I said. It's something new either way.
Okay. I do not, in fact, have a cat named Buddy. His name is Bucky.
Boo, Amanda said. Give us something interesting.
You'll have to win more than one hand for those, he said.
No, I said. That was fine. The key to this game is speed, so someone shares a fact and we immediately do another round. I rested my hand on top of my deck. Also, I didn't know you were a cat person. How come you don't bring him to live in the trailer with you?
He lives with my parents when I'm filming.
Next, Amanda said, and we all flipped our cards. Amanda, I said, when she got the lowest. I snapped my fingers. Speed. Yes, I like to drive fast.
I rolled my eyes, but we all flipped again. Grant drummed the table with two fingers.
I used to play.
The drums? I asked. Were you good?
Why do you think I became an actor?
I laughed. Much more practical. The next flip, I lost. I can eat an entire large pizza by myself. Although I hadn't done that lately. Lately, I'd been watching nearly everything that went in my mouth. Gross, Amanda said as we flipped again. Now the game was picking up. I have watched every single animated Disney movie, Amanda yelled out. Impressive, I said.
I used to run track,
Grant said after he lost.
I like to run.
I hate animals, I said for the next round. They stink and leave fur all over stuff. Grant gasped, and Amanda laughed. I can sleep for 12 hours straight, Amanda said. I would beat anyone in a sleep-off.
My weakness is carne asada french fries, Grant said. I spend an extra hour in the gym daily so I can eat them.
I have acted in 3 different soap operas, Amanda said. Nice, I said. And now I'm in a movie, she said.
You are? Grant asked. Which one?
The best one in the world, I said. Grant laughed, and Amanda yelled out, Hear, hear! I lost the next round. I like to sing, I said. Ooh, you two can start a band, Amanda said. I don't want a second-rate drummer in my band. Grant shoved my shoulder. Amanda collected the cards in the center of the table for winning that round. Grant lost next.
I once proposed to a girl, and she said no.
Amanda paused as she was reaching for the cards. What? You're only 19, I said.
And we were only 5 at the time.
I blew air out between my lips and threw a card at him.
I'm keeping this, he said, adding it to his stack.
We finished out the game a few rounds later, with Amanda winning. Let's go again, she said. Wait, I said, noticing a clock on his wall. Is that the actual time, or is it off? The clock said 10 to 10. Uh-oh, Amanda said. The little girl has a curfew. Are you going to turn into a pumpkin? Pulling out the Disney references, I said. You know it. I have to go. This was fun. I stood. This was fun, Amanda said. See you on set tomorrow. Remember my face, I said, giving Grant a wink. He smirked. I hopped down the steps and onto the asphalt, feeling okay about how that went. It stayed fairly surface level, but that was to be expected for the first round. I'd only made it a few steps before I heard the door open behind me. I looked back to see Amanda. Hey, can I talk to you for a minute? She said. Sure. She glanced over her shoulder at the shut door and led me a little farther away from the trailer. I know Grant said we weren't together, but I'd like to be. Okay. I had figured as much. I wanted to put that out there. I held my hands up. He's all yours. I don't date. Okay, I just... Wait, what? You don't date? Like, at all? Her dark eyebrows were down in confusion. For religious reasons or something? I laughed. No, for career reasons. I don't need the distraction. I need to focus. She smiled. Okay. Then she nodded back toward Grant's trailer. I need to focus too. Have fun. See you tomorrow. She took 2 steps back, then stopped and said, So if you don't date, how are you feeling about the kissing scene coming up? Do you, know what you're doing? I've kissed guys before, though only when I was performing. Well, if you need some pointers on chemistry or the kissing scene, I'm kind of known for that. I am the soap opera queen, after all. I think I'm okay. Thanks, though. I just need a little bonding time with Grant. And we had that. Yes, we did. We'll have to all do this again sometime. For sure, I said. Even though I'd gone into it with a goal in mind, I'd actually had a lot of fun. And, hey, I may not date, but I'm a notorious matchmaker. If you need help with a plan on how to land Grant James, I'm your girl. Yeah? Absolutely. I'd love that, she said. It's a deal then. We'll talk soon. She practically skipped back to the trailer. This whole night had turned out better than I had hoped. It surprised me. Now maybe my dad would surprise me and not get mad at me for being late. 3.
You're late,
Dad said when I walked through the door. Hey, Dad. Nice to see you. I walked into the small living room that was adjacent to the small kitchen. My dad had come to L.A. a couple of months before me to find us a decent place to live. He was a graphic designer and did most of his work from home, so he assured me it wasn't too big of a sacrifice on his end. But I knew it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to pick up his whole life and move either, even if only for half a year.
Are you late because you were so wrapped up in your schoolwork that you didn't notice the time?
He asked. I patted a stack of boxes 3 high to the right of the television. Did I learn my procrastination from you? How long have you been here? 2 months? What's even in these boxes? Obviously not anything pertinent to our survival. I tried to pry open the top one, but it was taped shut.
Lacey,
he said in a warning voice. I know it might not seem like I was doing homework, but I really was.
Pack it?
I don't have it. I left it in my trailer.
I don't know what to do with you right now. I don't know whether to talk to your director about this or...
Please don't, please. Everyone already thinks I'm this little girl on set. As if no lead role in the history of Hollywood has ever been played by a 17-year-old. He stared at me for a moment. A long, unnerving moment. Then he said,
There's lasagna in the fridge if you're hungry.
He turned around, walked down the very short hall, and shut himself in his room. I sank to the couch and put my face in my hands. The learning curve of living with my dad was a steep one. He was stricter than my mom, and I was trying to figure out how to deal with that. I'd only ever lived with him 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks every summer. In between, we kept up with each other via email, texts, or phone calls. We were both discovering that living with one another full-time was something else altogether. I started to stand, and my hand met the hard cover of the laptop. Now, in my post-confrontation guilt, probably wasn't a good time to Google my name on the computer. I was already feeling down, and reading comments on the internet wasn't a good way to change that. But the combination of time and access to the internet always seemed to draw this desire out of me. I typed my name into the search engine. It used to be only a few hits came up, mostly related to the cafeteria. Now, everything that came up was related to Grant. The first headline I saw read, Just who is this unknown starring alongside superstar Grant James? Just a nobody, I said. Worse than the entertainment articles were Grant's fans. They were brutal. Social media was full of mentions about who they wished had been cast as the lead instead of me. Like Natalie Mendoza, another big-name movie star. Did they really think this indie film could afford 2 big stars? I wasn't sure how it afforded the 1. This had to be a major pay cut for Grant. As I scrolled through more pages, an image came up. I gasped. There were pictures of me online, of course, my headshots and stills from the commercial I'd been in and the TV show. But this was awful. Me arriving on set in my sweats, 0 makeup, and a sour look on my face. The caption below it read, Save Grant James from the undead. Stay off the internet, Lacey, I said, shutting the laptop. Not helpful at all. I dragged myself to bed. A huge spread of food was always available at craft services, and I made my way to the covered tent the next morning after makeup. Amanda, wearing a long black drape to protect her wardrobe, was standing at the food table, dishing cantaloupe onto her plate. She looked over when I walked up, and startled a little. Then she laughed. If I were a zombie hunter, you'd be the first to go, she said. I put my hand to my chest. I'm hurt that I mean nothing to you. Death. I bared my teeth at her, and she smiled and took a step back. I grabbed a banana. Did you and Grant do another round of that game after I left? Actually, we did. Did you learn anything interesting about him? It had been fun, but we had shared only basic facts the night before. I still felt like I didn't know him very well. About Grant James? Did someone else show up? I peeled the banana and ate it in small pieces. She plucked a piece of granola out of a bowl on the table and threw it at me with a smile. No, but it's Grant James. He's been in the public eye since he was 6. Nothing he told me last night, including the drumming and carne asada fries thing, was new. Pretty sure everything you'd ever want to know about him is online somewhere. Online, I mumbled in disgust. Yes, you need to stay off the internet for at least the next 8 weeks. That will not help you. It doesn't like you for stealing its boyfriend. You've Googled me? I was curious about who this nobody starring alongside my boyfriend was. She winked at me. I liked Amanda. She seemed to say whatever she thought. Yeah, yeah. So, about Grant, I said. I didn't know those things he revealed last night. The only things I've read about him are that his parents divorced when he was 10, he has one brother who's adopted, he owns 3 houses, and his favorite person is his grandma. You read the People article too? She asked.
Did someone say something about my grandma?
Grant asked, walking by the food table and swiping a donut as he did. We weren't talking about you, I said. Then under my breath added to Amanda, tell him we were. We totally were, Amanda yelled after him, and he smiled at her over his shoulder. She nudged me with her elbow. You're good. Didn't I tell you? Noah, the first assistant director, peered around the corner with the scowl he seemed to always wear.
Lacey, they're ready for you.
More later, I said to Amanda. She waved a fork with a piece of cantaloupe on it at me. I followed Noah. Grant was already in the graveyard, standing on the pile of dirt next to the hole of a newly dug grave. His hair was styled to perfection. His eyes looked extra blue under the lights. Hey, I said, stepping in front of him. Doesn't it feel weird that we're filming at an actual graveyard? I'm surprised we haven't gotten any complaints. I nodded my head toward the group of people beyond the fence who had been absent when I arrived, but were now pressed up against the chain link. They held big signs. None of the signs were angry protests. All of them were variations of, "We love Grant James." I wondered if he could go anywhere without being recognized. I smiled. Was that my future? I could get used to people holding signs for me. He popped the last bite of donut into his mouth, then tamped on the dirt pile with his foot.
It's because we're in the back half of the graveyard. Nobody is actually buried here.
I know, but still.
How is all this graveyard appreciation coming from a girl who hates animals?
You do know graveyards and animals aren't even close to the same thing, right?
Right. Graveyards aren't living things. Do you really hate animals? All of them? Even kittens? Who can hate kittens?
Have you been analyzing this since last night? Remy joined us on the dirt pile.
Hi, guys. How you feeling today?
He held the shot list in his hand with the scenes that we'd be filming that day. Good, I said.
This girl doesn't like kittens,
Grant said. Kittens are tolerable, I said. Remy said.
Maybe we should have your character eat kitten brains for a shot.
My mouth dropped open. Remy gave Grant a head tilt.
Turns out she likes kittens more than she was letting on.
He glanced at his clipboard.
Besides, audiences wouldn't forgive us for that. We better stick to humans.
He clapped us back to business.
Okay, we have extras coming in this afternoon for some zombie fighting scenes, but this morning it's just the two of you. So lots of pining. This is a graveyard you might have to be buried in if this cure doesn't work.
It's a heartfelt scene. Sad eyes, loving looks, the works.
Sounds good,
Grant said, and I nodded my agreement.
Quiet on set,
Noah called, as Remy backed out of the shot. Everyone went silent. Even the birds, it seems. The boom operator placed the microphone in place, hovering over our heads. The guy with the slate came forward.
Slate in. Sound rolling? Camera rolling,
Noah called out.
Scene 11, take one,
the guy who held the slate said.
And action,
Remy said. 4. There may have been lots of supposed pining, but I could tell, even after 6 hours, that the scenes Grant and I had shot weren't working for Remy. Apparently, our chemistry was still off.
Is her hair red?
He called out at one point, referring to me.
It's too bright. It's clashing with all the blood. It needs more mud or something.
And so more mud was added to my hair. Now I was standing by a light, filthy hair, surrounded by zombies. I felt hot and a bit claustrophobic. Someone tripped next to me and I reached out to keep them from falling, when a huge light began to tip. I grabbed the pole but it didn't help. The light crashed to the ground, bulb shattering and breaking with a burst. Someone screamed. Several members of the crew rushed forward and immediately began brushing the scattered glass into a pile.
What just happened?
Remy yelled, staring right at me. I held up my hands. It just fell. I wasn't sure what had happened. Had the tripping zombie knocked into it? I was just glad nobody seemed hurt. It was then that my advocate on set stepped forward and said something to Remy that I couldn't hear. Probably that the underage star with a special contract was going over her allotted hours for the day, because Remy said,
"What happened to hiring 30-year-olds who look 17?
Grant laughed next to me. I scrunched my nose at him. You could have had a 30-year-old as a co-star.
That's hot, he said.
Really? He shrugged and laughed again.
That's a wrap for the day,
Remy called, surprising me. Really? We were ending early? With my dad not breathing down his neck, I thought Remy could fix the light and talk down the advocate. He'd done it before. As Leah removed the pre-made section on my face, I asked her under my breath, should I be worried? Does he think I knocked over that light? No, that was an accident. You did great. He's just a big bear. Sometimes he forgets a movie becomes a movie during edits. You've worked with him before? Lots of times.
Leah,
the big bear said. Yes?
I want more something on the zombies. Let's chat.
See? Leah said. This is his filming persona. He'll be happy in the end. She tucked the section she'd taken off my cheek into a red plastic case. Red for blood? I asked, nodding to the case. Don't forget guts. Blood and guts. She gave me a smile and left to go discuss makeup with Remy. Grant was talking to some guy who I had seen on set before. He was tall, wearing shorts and flip-flops, and didn't seem happy. I waved goodbye, but Grant didn't see me. I started peeling off wardrobe layers as I walked toward my trailer. Suddenly, Aaron was at my side.
Are you okay?
He was looking at my hands like he'd find them bloodied up. I'm fine. Was your dad mad about the light? He rolled his eyes.
He's always mad. You did great today. I like the way you glare at Grant. I think it's very zombie-ish. My dad liked that part, too. He gave a happy grunt.
I held in my laugh because I could tell he was trying to give me good feedback. Being a director's son, he'd probably been on a million sets throughout his life. You're going to make a great director one day. His eye shot to the floor.
Thanks. Do you need anything?
I'm good. Thank you. He nodded and left me to myself. I slipped off my blouse. I was down to my tank top and ripped-up skirt by the time I closed myself inside my trailer. A guy around my age sat on the couch, one of his feet propped up on the coffee table, his backpack open beside him. He was the most clean-cut-looking guy I'd ever seen in my life. Had he come straight from singing in a church choir? His dark hair was cropped short on the sides and a little longer on top. He wore a collared shirt and black pants. I backed out of my trailer, pretended to check the name on the door, then entered again. I didn't order a cute boy today. Did I? The guy pulled a pencil from the open backpack, took his foot off the coffee table, and leaned forward without even the hint of a smile. Are you here to run lines? I asked. Maybe this was why Remy hadn't put up a fight about ending the day. He'd sent a coach. I headed for the cabinets in the corner where I stored my script.
I'm Donovan, your new tutor.
I did a 180 and walked to the hanging rack instead. I hung up my blouse and corset. Ah, I didn't order one of those either.
Your father told me you'd say that. Andy told me to tell you that it's this, or his having a long talk with your director.
Remy would hate that. Did he also tell you how to deliver that message? Because you're channeling him very well. Although your scowl is a little on the heavy side. Maybe tone it down a notch.
Do you need to get ready before we start?
Ready? Do you have some brain warm-ups for me? His eyes scanned my face, unruffled by my teasing. Oh, you mean my makeup. Am I scaring you?
Not at all. I found your packet and see you've done only about half.
I've done half? Nice. I sat on the couch next to him. But here's the problem. I can't do homework with a stranger. Tell me your 5-minute history.
My 5-minute what?
Your... Wait. He was a stranger. Remy may not have sent me a coach, but that didn't mean this guy sitting next to me wouldn't make a good one. You can help me.
Yes, exactly. Do you want to start with math or English?
Chemistry. He flipped several pages on the packet.
Do you even have chemistry this year?
I began taking everything between us and putting them on the coffee table. My packet, a binder, a pencil, his phone. You have never seen me without makeup on. Sure, I was missing the big section on my cheek that made me look even creepier, but I knew what was left still wasn't a pretty sight.
Your dad also told me you would be very creative at finding ways to get out of this.
He reached for the stuff on the table. I grabbed both of his arms and turned him to face me. I'll do your packet in a minute.
It's your packet.
Whatever. Just help me real fast, and then we can work on that. He sighed.
I'm setting my phone timer for 5 minutes. When it goes off, we start on the packet.
I crinkled my nose. You really are a choir boy, aren't you?
5 minutes.
He picked up his phone. I smirked a little. He could hold his own. Most boys let me get my way. Fine. He clicked a few buttons, then set it back on the table.
So what do you need me to do?
Just sit there and tell me when you feel something. For many auditions, I'd had to go from meeting complete strangers to performing a scene with them in seconds. This was a little different, since he wasn't an actor, but he'd be fine. Are you ready? I asked.
Yes.
I lifted my hand slowly, then ran a finger along his shoulder while I stared into his eyes. He had nice eyes, chocolate brown with thick lashes. He jerked back.
Wait, I thought you were going to try to scare me.
You'd think, right? No. I need to know when you feel a spark.
I don't even know you.
I'm not trying to form a lasting connection. I just need to know how to create chemistry with all this on. I pointed at my makeup. His eyes traveled over my face. Had Grant's eyes been traveling my entire face today, too? Maybe he needed to concentrate on the one thing the makeup artist